Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio, and I'm here with my friend and co-author Nancy Saxton Lopez. And this is a program that we usually do live every Thursday from 6 p.m. to about 6:30. We're recording this one because of my travel schedule next week. And it's right after Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving. Happy after Thanksgiving, Nancy.
Thank you. You too.
And this is a program that, as I said, we do once a week, and it is based on the book that we wrote. It's called The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. And this medium allows us to have a broader reach and to have what amounts to a conversation with our audience members through you sending us your own stories, and then we share them if you'd like us to do that, if you'd like for that to be something that we share with others. And so you can write to me at kenddv@gmail.com, and you can write to Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. That's nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. And in addition to sending us your story, you might send us a suggestion for a topic, or you might suggest a guest that it would be helpful to hear from. If you do send us your story, we will write back to you. One or both of us will write back to you. And we do ask that you let us know, is it okay if we share on this program? Is it okay if we share in a newsletter or Substack newsletter that we're in the process of developing? And if you would not like us to share, that's fine. And if you would not like us to share particular parts of your letter, that's fine as well. And we only share first names, so we don't identify people beyond that. You can support our program in a number of ways, through Venmo, through PayPal, through a monthly subscription. All of these are in the program description. Everything I say in the beginning of this program is you can reference in the program description. And this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society, which is in Springfield, Massachusetts. Dakin is a shelter for animals that provides all sorts of additional programs. So not only adoption services for rescued pets, but also various kinds of programs for the community. And one of them is a monthly support group that I facilitate, and it is via Zoom, and people can join from anywhere in the world, and they do, in fact, and it is cost-free. You do not pay anything to be part of this meeting. It is usually on the second Tuesday of the month. It runs 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and the next meeting is on December 12th. And if you'd like to be part of it, please go to the link that is in the description and RSVP, because the group has a limit because we've had so many people participate. So if you'd like to be part of it, and I'd certainly like for you to be, please go to the link as soon as you can and sign up. And if you can't get into the December 12th group, then you can get into the next month group, if that may be helpful for you as well. Please consider subscribing on YouTube. This is really helpful in terms of getting the program more visible to people who may benefit from it. So if you think the program is useful, please subscribe. Please check that you like the program. Maybe make a comment, because all of that tells the algorithm to make it more visible higher up on the ranking when people are looking for programs that may be helpful to them. And finally, we just like you to be aware that we have an affiliation with a company called Bereave, and Bereave creates these beautifully crafted granite memorial plaques, as one is pictured here. And if you purchase a plaque from Bereave, and we've seen them and we've received one as an example, and it's just really, really great quality. If you buy a plaque from Bereave, you will also be giving a measure of support to our program. Nancy, want to get us started? And there's the example that we have.
Oh, it's hard to see, but there's Bailey.
There it is.
Yes. Tonight we have two stories, and Ken titled it, She Was My Saving Grace. And this is from Sang about his Lola, but it also fits Simon. And I think pancakes, right? My little
pancakes. No, Toby and Jax.
What is it?
Toby and Jax.
Okay. But I'm going to start with Sang's story about his Lola. Hi, Nancy and Ken. I came across your podcast just this past week as I sought out help after my precious dog Lola passed away suddenly in her sleep a few days ago. Lola was a pit bull mix who I adopted in January 2019 through a rescue group in Houston, Texas, called the Three Little Pitties. My previous dog, Roxy, had passed away suddenly in 2017 from a tumor on her heart, which I had no idea about until she collapsed in front of me. I rushed her to the emergency vet, but it was already too late. They did an ultrasound after her death and discovered that the tumor had essentially overtaken her heart. Needless to say, I was in shock as it was completely unexpected, and she was her normal, active, troublemaking terrier self until she collapsed. Roxy was the third dog in our menagerie of dogs and was the last to leave us. We lost Delta, our flat coat retriever mix, in 2013 to osteosarcoma at the age of 10. She had been with us since 2003. We then lost Jackie, our greyhound Doberman mix, in 2015 to a tick-borne illness while we were living in North Carolina. She had since been with us since 2005. We also had two cats, Mayo and Willie, who we had acquired while we were in college in Detroit back in the mid-1990s. They had been with us for a long time, Willie passing away in 2012 and Mayo passing away not long after in 2013. I mention all of our former companions to illustrate the fact that Roxy was the last of the group, so when she passed, it was like a 20-year era of my life had ended. She was my physical connection to those past 20 years, the thread that connected me to an incredibly important period of my life. I wasn't sure if I would want another dog after Roxy passed, but as time moved on, my wounded heart started to heal, and I started missing having a canine companion in my life. So in late 2018, early 2019, I started casually looking. I didn't really know what I was looking for. I just felt a longing. I won't bore you with all the details of the search, but my online search eventually brought me to Lola. What sold me on her was when I clicked on the link they had provided to a short little video of her. When I saw that video, I knew she was the one. It was just a feeling, but it felt right. She's beautiful. Lola and I were connected right from the start. It took her a little bit of time to adjust to her new environment, but we shared so much in common that it didn't take long before I no longer knew where I started and she ended. She was quiet and had a generally easygoing nature about her. She was a master napper and could sleep almost anywhere, just like myself, if I was given the permission to do so. The difference between us, though, is the fact that I have always been on the quiet side and a bit socially awkward. I don't make friends easily and have often felt like an outsider since I was a child. Lola, on the other hand, while she also had a quiet nature, was great at making friends wherever she went. In fact, if we were on a walk together and crossed paths with a person, she would stop in her tracks and wouldn't continue the walk until that person came over to say hello to her. Funny story. There was one time we were out walking and she saw a delivery person getting into their truck. She, of course, stopped and wouldn't continue on, and the delivery person yelled out her window, "Does she need me to say hi to her?" So she got out of her truck, came over and said hi to her, and said she recognized the behavior because she also has pit bulls who do the same thing. Lola and I went everywhere together, at least everywhere we could go together. The only times she wasn't at my side were if I had to go into the office or if I was meeting friends in a place where I couldn't bring her with me. But otherwise, she was with me 24/7. We both loved driving around in the car and just wandering around. I live in the Seattle area, so it's a beautiful area to wander around and get lost. True to her easygoing, quiet nature, she was the ideal ride-along dog. She would lean against the seat and rest her head on the windowsill and watch the world go by, eventually curling up, falling asleep, and snoring away. Like I said, she was a master napper. I never really needed a leash with her. I used one, of course, for safety, but she always just followed me. The first time I took her out into nature, I just had the sense that she wouldn't wander off, and I was right. That first time, though, just to be safe, I did put a harness on her with a long line, just in case, but I never needed it. After that, I just let her roam off leash, and she always stayed within safe distance, coming to me when I called to her. In case you're wondering, I never did any kind of formal training with her. We just had a strong bond and connection that manifested in that kind of trust. It was always just easy with her, in a way that I'd never experienced with any dog or any other living being, if I'm being completely honest. So when I found her a few days ago, her body lying still on the floor next to her bed when I woke up in the morning, I was shattered. She had been diagnosed with a pulmonary hypertension about a year ago, and it is a condition for which there is no cure, only management. She recently had a checkup cardiogram to see how her heart was doing, and everything seemed to look good. Her meds seemed to be keeping her stable. She was happy and energetic. In fact, she was the most playful and energetic these past few weeks that I've ever seen her, so it came as a devastating shock to find her still body when everything seemed to be going so well. And it probably goes without saying, but it also triggered the trauma of losing my last dog, Roxy, so suddenly from a heart condition. The thing that haunts me, though, is the fact that I didn't get up in the night to be with her in those final moments. I always got up to check on her if I heard her rustling around at night, because it usually meant her tummy wasn't feeling well and she wanted to go outside. But this time, the one time she really needed me to get up and be there, I didn't get up. Why? Why didn't I get up? I know there likely wasn't anything I could have done, but I could have at least been there with her as she left. I don't know if I'll ever be able to forget myself for that. Lola was the light of my life, like I said. She is the first living being with whom I've had this kind of amazing relationship with. It truly was a nonstop honeymoon period that just kept getting better and better. We truly got each other in a way that felt rare and special. I thought I had a wonderful bond and connection with my previous dogs, but while I did love them all wholeheartedly, it wasn't until Lola that I feel like I now truly understand the depth of the human-animal connection and bond. Mm-hmm. Looking back over the time we had together, it all feels like a dream that I'm now waking from. A few months after I adopted Lola, my wife left, and we ended up divorcing. We had met in college and were together for 26 years. Lola was my saving grace and my constant companion, helping to keep me from falling into the dark despair I could have easily dropped into, as I have struggled with depression for most of my life. She was my saving grace. And while we had almost 5 years together, and that time was wonderful, I'm starting to feel those dark forces sneaking up on me again. Taking care of Lola was the reason I got up in the morning, why I left the house, why I did anything at all, to be honest. Without her here, the thoughts start to enter my mind. What's the point? What's the point of any of this? Because she was already a mature dog when I adopted her, I knew our time together wouldn't be as long as I would like. And there were times where I actually thought to myself, my responsibility is to her, and when she's gone, there's really nothing keeping me here. I don't know that I am someone who would actually follow through with those thoughts and feelings, but they do enter my mind. It's only been a few days since I lost her, and I really, really miss her. Having experienced loss in the past, there is a part of me that understands that time will soften the pain, and I know this feeling of loss isn't unique to me. I mean, there's a reason I'm sharing this story with you, because I know my story and experience isn't completely unique, but it certainly feels that way when you're going through it, and I guess I just needed other people to know how special my girl was, and give an acknowledgement to just how much she was loved and how important she was to this one insignificant person. As I'm writing this, I'm having a small realization. In a way, maybe the circle of how we came together is kind of poignant. Here's a dog that may not have meant anything to the people who left her at the shelter so many years ago, who they considered insignificant. And here's a person who considers himself to be insignificant. But we were significant to each other. And to this insignificant person, she was everything. Thank you for reading this and providing me with a forum to share our story. Just writing this letter to you helps as a step forward. I've attached some photos of Lola so you can get a little sense of what she's like. And then he did write back, right? He wrote back, I'd written to him and he wrote back and he said, "Hi, thank you so much for your kindness and compassion. It really is so incredibly helpful and healing being able to share with you. If you think sharing our story will be helpful for others, please feel free to share it. All of us who share our love for our companion animals need to stick together after all." I do want to add that while this is a difficult time right now, Lola really opened and expanded my heart. There is a quote that gives me some comfort, and it goes, "What is grief if not love persevering?" Unlike my past experiences with loss, this time feels different in the sense that the love I shared with her was so pure and strong. I have no doubt that when the time is right, I will be ready to open my heart again to another companion in the future. In the past, I would have been so overwhelmed by loss and grief, I thought to myself, never again. But Lola has taught me that love is more powerful than the inevitable pain that will come with it. Thank you again, and give your lovely companion some love from me.
So beautifully written. Oh. And it's good to know that Sang is feeling like there's a future now and that there'll be another animal companion that comes into their life. I mean, it's very much the case that many people feel this way when they lose their heart dog, their familiar. I mean, I'm not really sure whether Sang is a he or a she, so I'm being a little cautious with pronouns, but it's clear that this was a relationship like no other that they've had with an animal companion. And sometimes we hit upon that and it's really surprising, right? Because there have been many other dogs in this person's life.
I mean, yes, many. And cats, right? Two cats and
loved wholeheartedly, but this was different. Lola was different. Yeah.
And well, also what he went through, right? He went through a divorce. He went through a divorce, she was there for him.
Yep.
All of these really difficult things that we go through, and our companion animals are with us to comfort us.
There's one thing that I really wanted to refer to, and that is that Lola died in the quiet of the night.
Yeah.
And that this is something that Sang is very upset about, that he or she was not able to be there with Lola. And what occurs to me is that many times an animal companion or a human companion will die at a time when they are aware that their beloved companion is not aware that it's happening. Mm-hmm. And that there may be a certain, that may have something to do with why this happened so quietly, because Lola knew what she meant to Sang. I mean, she knew that they were everything to each other. And in a way, it's not uncommon for that kind of relationship with that kind of relationship for the one who's dying to die in a moment when they know the other person, or they know that their person is not cognizant of the fact that they're dying. I mean, I've heard many, many stories like this, as I've heard, I'm sure you have, where the dying happens when the guardian leaves, the pet guardian leaves, the pet parent is not there.
Yeah.
And it happens with human beings too. Married.
Yes. Couples, many human beings. It's the same way.
One person will be dying. They'll be in hospice care. They will be alert. They'll be oriented. Mm-hmm. Their partner will go to get a cup of coffee and come back and they're gone.
I had a woman once who knew her dog was dying, and she was so distraught, but she kind of was going to leave the house, and she said to her dog, "You can go. Mm-hmm. It's okay."
Mm-hmm.
Right. And kissed her and hugged. And when she got back, she had died.
Yeah. So I hope that is of some comfort to Sang, where he or she doesn't have to feel like it's something to be guilty about. That they didn't share this moment. It may very well be the case that that was the moment that Lola chose.
Yeah. And well, that's the animal communicators say that, right? Danielle said it would say that, right?
And so it's not something to feel guilty about. It's just something that is part of the way their relationship drew to a close.
I want to also point out about how he felt afterwards, that he had these really difficult, hard thoughts about his life and if he could really live without her. And we hear that a lot from people.
Yeah. Even people who don't as Sang mentioned, have a history of clinical depression. We definitely hear that. I mean, it's very common. But he's moved to a different place now.
He has moved to a different place.
Yeah, now he sees a future where there'll be another animal companion.
Yes, and I think that was why I wanted to read the second part, the second email, because most of the time, people, unless there is a history, and that's why it's important, I think, to have clinical experts running groups or talking to people, because some may have some issue, emotional, psychiatric issue that could, spurn some of these, these feelings and thoughts. But most of the time, people just, they can't imagine themselves without their companion.
Yeah.
And so they many times won't attempt that. But, it's gotta be, it's a tricky, situation.
It has to be taken seriously.
Yes.
Be evaluated. If a person feels, if a person has suicidal thinking and it goes to a place where they're seriously thinking about how to do it,
they need to be
first, or they've planned. I mean, all of those kinds of things. It's very important. Suicidal thinking is not uncommon.
It's no, at all.
So that's important to keep in mind as well. So we're very grateful to Sang for sharing.
Yes. This. Beautiful stories.
And beautiful pictures too.
Yes, Lola is gorgeous. Look at that dog.
Right here, actually.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
So beautiful. So beautiful. So thanks for sending us these pictures as well.
Yeah.
And we'll move on.
Wait again. I'm sorry if I made a mistake on the names, but you're going to read the next story, right?
Simon, right.
Sorry.
Assumed name. Simon would prefer that we don't share their name, and that's fine. So here's the story. Hello, I came across your Pet Loss Companion podcast on YouTube and have recently purchased your book. I feel the need to share my story of the recent loss of my two dogs this year. A response would be greatly appreciated, but you are obviously under no obligation to do so. You can share my story and any response with your audience. Please just remove my name. My dog Toby died on May 26th. He was a 15-year-old, 100-pound Chesapeake Bay Retriever mix that I adopted as a puppy in 2008. His death was not unexpected, since he was diagnosed with cancer, melanoma, about a year prior, and he was very old for a dog his size. I mean, that's the first thing I was thinking when I read that. I had time to grieve in anticipation, but you never can fully prepare or know exactly when it's going to happen. His death was difficult to bear initially, but I was able to reach some sense of peace knowing that he lived a great life. Lived longer than probably 95% of dogs his size, died naturally and quickly at home with his family, and that I had done pretty much everything I could for him. Plus, I still had a younger dog, Jax, to lean on as a lifeline and who kept my routine. That is until Jax unexpectedly died just 4 months later on September 25th. The circumstances surrounding Jax's death were complicated, and unlike Toby's death, I've not been able to reach peace with it. Let me give you some background about Jax to provide some better context regarding his death. Jax was adopted in 2017 from a shelter as a 75-pound adult stray Rottweiler mix with an unknown history. The shelter guessed his age to be 3 years at adoption, which equates to 9.5 years now, but I have no way of knowing his age for certain. It was always difficult taking Jax to the vet. He couldn't handle being poked and prodded for shots, tests, or medication, and would often become uncooperative and aggressive. He was even more aggressive if he was wounded or felt vulnerable. This doesn't mean I never took Jax to the vet. It just meant that there was a higher threshold for doing so, and I would often hesitate or procrastinate. Jax had stomach issues since the day we adopted him. He would routinely throw up yellow bile and have a noisy, churning stomach. He would also have episodes of more intense stomach sickness, lasting a few days, with vomiting and diarrhea. But he would always recover on his own at home. I always assumed this is just how he was. He had a sensitive stomach. Also, in 2019, he had GDV, which is when the stomach fills with gas and then twists. This is deadly within a couple of hours and not treated. Luckily, I was at home with him when it happened and recognized it was an emergency. I was able to get him to the vet in time to perform surgery, which saved his life. He had 20% of his stomach removed and his spleen removed. He was discharged early from the hospital for poor behavior. He was furiously trying to get out of his recovery cage, and he bit a vet tech. However, he did go on to make a full recovery once at home. This time, my wife, baby daughter, our dog Jax, and I took a 15-hour road trip to visit family. Jax got sick soon after arriving at the destination. His initial symptoms were vomiting up his food a couple nights in a row, but he was otherwise normal. Then after the next few days, he did not want to eat, was drooling, and could not hold down water. I had to manage his water intake so that he would not drink too much at once, which would cause him to vomit it back up immediately. This took some trial and error before I figured it out, and I had to let him lick ice cubes. I was concerned about dehydration, but he was still urinating a decent amount, so I assumed that he was getting a survivable amount of water from the ice cubes. I was also giving him antacids to try to reduce his nausea. At this time, I didn't think it was an emergency. His symptoms didn't appear to be any different than his prior upset stomach episodes. It was just lasting longer than usual. He was alert, able to get up and walk on his own, although he was lethargic and didn't want to do much of anything. And at times he appeared to be feeling a little better and resting comfortably. After about the fourth or fifth day of this, he was still not able to drink a normal amount of water without vomiting it back up. I knew that his treatment needed to be escalated. I was on the verge of finding a vet in the area, but first my mom, who was a nurse, listened to his heart and lungs with a stethoscope. She made an educated guess that he might have an infection based on the sound of his lungs. We gave him antibiotics, amoxicillin, something he had tolerated well in the past, at a proper dosage for his size. I foolishly decided to forego taking him to a vet to allow time to assess the effectiveness of the antibiotics. And because I was planning on driving back home within the next day or so, I was expecting to take him to his normal vet when I got home if the antibiotics didn't help. The very last night, he started to hold some water down, and I was relieved that he seemed to have finally turned the corner. However, the next day, he died suddenly at a rest stop while I was taking him out of the car. We had to continue to drive several hours home with his dead body in the car and everyone being shocked and crying. I feel such tremendous sorrow and guilt for letting this slow motion train wreck go on for an entire week without doing the cautious thing of taking Jax to a nearby vet. It's haunting me to think his condition was treatable by a vet, but instead I let him be sick and die. By the time it was over, Jax hadn't eaten anything in a week and had only small amounts of water each day. It feels so cruel looking back on it. How did I let it go on for an entire week? Why wasn't I cautious with Jax after just having gone through the death of Toby a few months prior? Why did I deprioritize Jax and let myself be distracted by our visit with family? Why didn't I recognize it was an emergency like I did years ago with GDV? Why did I go for the easy solution of giving him antibiotics and hoping for the best at the critical junction when I realized his treatment needed to be elevated? Why did I gamble with his life like that? I feel incredibly stupid and that I caused this self-inflicted wound on our family. I feel like everyone else would have just taken their dog to a nearby vet. Most stories I hear are about people feeling guilty about not taking their dog to the vet soon enough, but I didn't take mine at all, and I had plenty of time to do it. I know there are reasons why I hesitated to take him to a vet, and there are reasons why I was confused as to the severity of his condition, which I tried to outline earlier with his background, but none of them seem valid anymore given the outcome. I also know that taking him to a vet does not guarantee the outcome would have been any different, but it hurts to know that I didn't give him my best effort. It's very hard accepting that I made a mistake that probably contributed to the death of someone I loved. He was supposed to be around a few more years and to be the surviving family dog after Toby's passing. My expectations for the future and current reality are light years apart. The future we had together is abruptly gone, and it's partly my fault. I have so many unanswered questions that I know I can never get the answer to. How old was Jax really? Was he older than I thought? By how much was his life cut short? What was his diagnosis and cause of death? Pancreatitis, cancer, heart failure, simple dehydration? Was his condition treatable? These questions send me down a dead-end spiral of research and analysis that I can't seem to get out of. All these feelings of guilt are on top of the general grief of both of my dogs being gone now. There were no other beings on the planet that I spent more time with the last several years than with them. I was at home with them pretty much all day, every day for the last 6.5 years after quitting my day job to pursue other business. While I was failing at those other pursuits, they were there providing comfort and companionship, and at least I felt some sense of purpose and value by being home with them all the time and making their lives more comfortable. I wasn't prepared to lose both of them in quick succession. A huge part of me died with them, and it is the end of an era. I can't believe they're both gone. Thank you so much for reading, Simon.
Oh,
it's a very hard story. It's very, very hard.
Simon, we're so sorry. This is very tragic.
Yeah, it really is.
But I don't think that he, obviously, in retrospect, he's looking at everything that could have happened differently and that he could save his dog.
Yeah. And the thing that I, you know, we always come back to with it, with this kind of situation is we can't accurately evaluate what the experience was when you were doing your best before your animal died. We can't, can't really look back on it and know what it was like and judge what it was like, because you were doing your best and you were being you were using your judgment and you were being very reasoned with it at the time. And everything he described made perfect sense. It wasn't like he was neglecting the fact that the dog had some.
He wasn't neglecting Jax at all. He was paying attention.
And he was up against the extraordinarily stressful reality of having a very large, powerful dog that didn't respond well to going to a veterinarian. I mean, it was an ordeal to take this dog to the veterinarian. And he had seen this kind of behavior. He had seen this kind of problem before. And he was doing the best he could with it. And it was entirely, given his prior experience, it was entirely unpredictable that he would just collapse and die.
Right.
So that's the thing I hope he really is able to keep reminding himself of. He did the best he could.
Right.
He was making reasoned judgments about his observations. He was enlisting reasonable help from his mother, who is a nurse, and she found his vital signs to be strong, it sounded like, without, you know, he wasn't in crisis as far as she could tell, and they did the best they could. And we don't know. We have no idea how this would have gone differently if they had gone to a vet. He was not a young dog. He was at least 9.5 years old, and he was a large dog. And that's late in life for that size dog. And so, but the thing that you don't want to do, I think, is keep trying to revisit it. This is, as I was reading part of your story, I was thinking, I have a habit whenever this starts with me is I look at my dog's boxes of ashes and I say to myself, what's the point? Like, what's the point of thinking about it, research, you know, wondering about the would have, should have, could have, because it's done. It's over. Their lives are over. There's nothing you can do.
You can hear his agony, right? Absolutely. He has this agony of guilt around really believing that, and wishful, hopeful believing that his dog could have been saved if he had done different things. And like you said, Ken, you know, he did everything the best he could at the time that was there throughout that trip through, you know, with his family members. And of course, after the fact, you can go back and, like you say, you know, it's agony to think that you may have done something that we don't know what would have happened or not, really.
Yeah. And he says, you know, he feels like it was cruel. Well, he knew that Jack's experience going to the vet is cruel, as being cruel.
Right.
he didn't want to inflict that on him if he didn't feel like it was absolutely necessary. And that was the judgment he made. And he has to, I think you just have to trust that you did, and we've said this many, many times, that he did the best he could with the information at hand.
That he had.
Sound judgment based on the information at hand. And we have no idea how it, you know, what would have happened if he had gone to a vet. We don't know.
We don't know.
No idea if it would have been different or if it would have been similar and it would have been an even more upsetting death because of the difficulty of experiencing that kind of, he didn't like going to the vet. It frightened him.
We also, Ken, you and I know that guilt is one of the hardest emotions to deal with in grief, and it's almost impossible to try. You can't take it away from people. You we've talked about that with the groups and people we counsel. It'll take a period of time.
Yep.
But we hope Simon at some point can say, you know what, I did the best I could. And I miss Jax, and I'm so sorry. And of course, Toby's in that too. But you know, but hopefully, he can get peace in his heart.
Yep, we thank you very much, Simon, for sharing your story with us, and Sang also. And we hope that you're being gentle with yourself.
Yeah,
we really hope you're
taking care of yourself.
Yeah,
it's a hard thing.
And we want to just remind people, as always, please subscribe on YouTube if you find this program valuable. Say that you like it. Make a positive comment. All of that helps to make the program more accessible to others. So, and thank you very much, Nancy. Always
of course,
talking with you.
Talk soon.
Yep.